I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You guys on right now?
It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, we're going to be shifting guys around quite a bit here because we just got word that DJ Reed of the Lions is going to join us coming up this hour, the free agent signee. So we will get to him coming up in a few minutes as practice has just ended. We mentioned before the break that Miami had the same two-minute drill that the Detroit Lions did. Tua incomplete when nobody opened with 55 seconds to go. Short dump-off pass for 3 yards over the middle. The clock was running. Slant pass dropped. 4th and 7. Brian Branch gets a pass breakup. 4 and done for the Dolphins offense in the two-minute drill. So we said we'd update you, and we did. Let's welcome in one of our Lion insiders. The Birchie Kid is here.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. What
yes.
a great day of joint practice out here after another great one yesterday. Vibes are high.
Yep.
The intrigue is high, and I think the optimism is high once again after seeing this team for the first time against a different foe in camp.
The Lions dominated yesterday.
Yeah.
They dominated. The Dolphins were more – there was more resistance today, to say the least, but – I still thought the Lions had a pretty good practice.
Yeah, I watched the offense yesterday, which was a masterclass. I mean, they moved the ball with ease with every single snap. And I watched the defense today, and it was a little bit different. I thought the second-team offense for the Dolphins was able to move the ball, but against that first-team defense, and basically against Aiden Hutchinson, they had no answers. It felt like almost every single time to a drop back and needed some time to allow a route to develop, Hutch was there flying around the left edge and shutting it down. And look, the hype around Hutch is real, and it's been real since he stepped on the field. I had him for probably 4 or 5 sacks today, and he probably only played 25 or so snaps. It just felt like every single pass play, he was a terror. And you can see him picking up where he left off from last season.
He was completely dominant, and I'm not sure how much of that is, you know, the Lions looking great or how much of that is Tua just not looking good. I think it's a combination for sure, and not having Tyreek Hill out there isn't going to do him any favors, but they did at least come out and showed something today, a little bit, certainly more than they did yesterday, but I still thought that the Lions on both sides of the ball handle themselves very well.
Yeah, I think the other effect that we're seeing out here is that Marcus Davenport is healthy opposite Hutch. And look, I know the biggest question he has to answer is whether or not he can stay healthy, but when he's out here, the vision for those two is really easy to see because Marcus Davenport is everything that the Lions want in a pass rusher opposite Hutch, in that he can A, set a really hard edge, and B, can bull rush with the best defensive ends in this league. And by doing so, he eliminates the escape lanes for any quarterback on the backside. And if you can just hem a quarterback in opposite Hutch, odds are he's going to get there eventually.
Were you at the Dan Campbell press conference earlier?
I was.
Okay. High praise for Tate Ratledge.
Really high praise. And I was not surprised to hear that. I thought that Tate Ratledge had one of his best showings of camp yesterday. And not just in the physicality and getting to the second level, but picking up stunts and games. There was one block he had in the two-minute drill to end practice where it looked like the Dolphins had run a pretty well-timed stunt up front that may have confused him for just a minute, and there was a free rusher who had his eyes on Jared Goff, and at the last second, Tate Ratledge picked it up, shifted over, and prevented a sack, which allowed Goff to complete like a 6 or 7 yard pass to Shane Zylstra. And so you can see his processing picking up and the game speed through his eyes slowing down. And then he also laid just like a vicious block on a linebacker in the second level to spring Gibbs for one of his touchdowns in the red zone. They ran 8 plays in the red zone yesterday and scored 5 touchdowns, and at one point scored 4 in a row. And on the one that Gibbs scored from 8 yards out, Ratledge and Sewell combined to open a lane, and then Ratledge surged into the second level and just cleaned out a linebacker like he was raking leaves across his lawn. And Gibbs danced in basically untouched. And it's funny, I caught up with Gibbs briefly yesterday as he was leaving the practice, and I was like, look, it's obviously been an inconsistent showing so far for this offense and this offensive line, but you know what it's like to run behind this O-line when it's at its best. And I just wondered if yesterday felt more like it did for Gibbs over the last two seasons. And he smiled, and he doesn't say much, but he goes, oh, yeah, easy, easy running. He said, all I got to do is run straight. And if all Jahmyr Gibbs has to do is run straight, he's going to be cooking and putting up big numbers.
Yeah, and he's not alone. I thought it was pretty good practice today from David Montgomery. He showed up not only in running the football, but in the passing game, too. I saw him catch a pass in the red zone area. This 1-2 combo that they have, if they can keep these guys healthy, which is why you have two really good running backs, is to share the load. You don't need to have the bell cow anymore. These two guys are devastatingly good.
Yeah, and the sky is obviously the limit when you start utilizing them in different ways. And I know there's a lot been made about some of these two-back set possibilities. And we can't go into too much detail based on what we've seen out here with the X's and O's and the alignments. But suffice to say, John Morton has been pretty creative. And I know that was one of the things that everyone loved about Ben Johnson was his progressiveness in calling the offense. Well, John Morton has displayed some interesting, colorful alignments himself. And so I think I'm pretty excited to see how they deploy that as the season goes on.
Okay, it's early to say that, okay, Tate Ratledge has got this. We don't need to worry about the interior offensive line, but it's trending in a positive direction. Bertie, what are the big concerns if it's not that?
Well, look, I think the communication for the offensive line might take some time. I have no doubt that physically Mahogany and Ratledge are capable of stepping in and playing at an NFL level. But the fluidity and the chemistry in a really complex run offense, I think, might take some time to develop. But that almost feels like nitpicking for an offense that otherwise has all the weapons in the world. And then, I said yesterday, my biggest question for this team on defense is just, can Marcus Davenport stay healthy? Because if he can, you can see exactly how they're going to wreak havoc on teams. I mean, if you're going to force quarterbacks into ill-advised and hurried throws between the two safeties and the two corners when Therrien's healthy, they've got all kinds of ball hawks in the back end.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Jared Goff's had a nice camp, at least certainly what we've seen for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
He looks as dialed in as anybody else, and that's maybe the biggest disappointment from last year and you go into the back in the postseason was, you know, his performance against the Commanders.
Yeah.
So he's locked in, but everybody is nobody's talking about him. Everybody's worried about the backup quarterback situation based on what's happened in the first two preseason games. What have you seen from the backups this week in practice, and more particularly what you've seen the last 2 days of these joint practices?
Yeah, so I just watched the defense today, so I didn't get a glance at the quarterbacks. But when I watched yesterday, I thought the trend of Allen outplaying Hooker continued. And I just see a veteran quarterback who has had experience in multiple systems adapting to this offense more smoothly and more quickly than Hendon Hooker. And look, if the season started tomorrow, Kyle Allen is unquestionably the second quarterback behind Jared Goff. But I just remind everyone, Jared Goff, knock on wood here, hasn't missed a game in three seasons.
Oh boy,
so ideally,
you knocked on wood,
ideally you won't have to turn to him in this camp. But I agree, man. He's been lights out, been firing strikes around the field. And I think he's showing some dad strength out here. He had a nice little scramble today where he made a shovel pass to Shane Zylstra, looking a bit like Josh Allen against the Lions last year. So I think Goff looks poised to take yet another step in his development here in Detroit.
When are you on TV next?
We are on TV next on Sunday at some time. I should probably check that schedule to find out exactly when I'm in. Back on the radio tonight, Lions Review, 6 to 7:15. Woj, myself, and the dapper Dan Miller. No one's cooler than Dan Miller,
no, Dan's
dude.
Cool.
Like,
he's
it's
cool
just, it's he's impossible to match.
You can, of course, read Birchie's stuff on our website as well,
findsomeoneatticket.com.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds good, fellas. Hey, how about Christian Mahogany, BC boy, continuing that Boston College offensive line pipeline? Love to see it.
Listen to this eagle. Thank you, Birchie. Hey, that summer heat has really kicked off, and everybody's thirsty, and it's Thursday. Let's talk about the best place to quench that thirst. It's Twin Peaks. Those who have been know what I'm talking about. Those who haven't, What are you waiting for? Let's talk about their draft beer for a second. Chilled Lines pour at a bone-chilling 29 degrees. They pour into a mug that's been freezing for a minimum of 6 hours, and that combination creates beer crystals. You will literally see glaciers in your mug, and they got enough mugs on hand where each mug's only used once a day. They're the experts, but if beer isn't your thing, you'll be shocked at their selections of special bourbons, tequilas, high-end craft cocktails, daily bucket and shot specials, along with happy hour. Makes it the best spot to wet your whistle, and best of all, it's served up by the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. Beat the heat all weekend long with awesome sports action like preseason football, double dose of knockout action on Saturday with pay-per-view boxing and UFC 319. And, of course, if you're taking in the Dream Cruise, be sure to stop by the Madison Heights Lodge to cool off. You won't regret it. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Practice has wrapped up here. Another day of joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. Our football coverage on 97.1 The Ticket is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And we continue our coverage here from Lions training camp. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, and DJ Reed is here. New Detroit Lion. More importantly, who do we got with us, DJ?
I got my daughter, Kinsley. She want to sit in my lap.
So okay.
It's all good. You going to sit, KK?
you want the
Sharpie? Marker? Yeah, she loves Sharpies. got some paper?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Draw whatever you want.
Do your thing.
Here,
do your thing.
We want to put it on.
There we go. Now we working.
Yeah. Let's see what she comes up with.
Oh, let me see your artwork.
All right. So how are you enjoying your time as a Lion so far?
I'm loving it. We work. It's competition every day. You know, when we play against the offense, you know, on defense we want to dominate, and vice versa on offense they want to dominate. So it's iron sharpens iron, and it felt good to, you know, compete against somebody else these last 2 days and get work in from a different group of wide receivers and a different group of men. So it was great work at this joint practice today and yesterday.
I think this is your fourth team that you've been with in the NFL. Can you compare the different training camps and what they're like?
Yeah. my time on the Jets, the training camps were really competitive as well. But I think being here, the competition is just a little bit more. I was talking to somebody, like, the live tackling periods was like that was like that brought back like the old school days of when you're young and you know, you get up and you got to, you know, make the tackle. So things like that are pretty cool, and it makes it very youthful and makes the energy feel better. But we're definitely getting after it. We're getting in great football shape. We're starting to increase our reps at practice. And, yeah, we're just getting better. That's the goal, is just to get better every day.
Now that you're here and you're seeing this training camp, is it no surprise why Dan Campbell's been successful as a head coach?
Yeah, it's no surprise. Everything makes sense. You know, one thing that Coach Campbell does a lot of is situational football, whether it's walkthroughs, whether it's in the meetings. He's always talking about situations. And that's ultimately what the game comes down to, is, you know, two-minute end of half, two-minute end of game and stuff like that. And he definitely emphasizes that. So, you know, when those moments happen, it makes sense why, you know, we more than likely come out on top.
Your season ends with the Jets. You go home, you get to watch the playoffs, see what unfolds there. You start planning where you want to be. How did it unfold that you came to be a Detroit Lion, and, you know, how did all that contact kind of work out?
Well, I didn't really know I was going to be a Detroit Lion until free agency came. I know they had interest, after the combine, but a lot of teams did. But yeah, when free agencies, you know, the tampering period happened, you know, they showed interest, and you know, it was a very intriguing place. The two safeties that I was going to be playing with, Amik the nickel, was very, you know, it just made sense. Then you got Hutch, you got Hutch on the D line, you know, you got Campbell, you got everybody. So I mean, it just made sense for me to go there and, you know, be a piece. And you know, my goal is to win a Lombardi, and you know, we have the guys to do it. Just got to stay healthy and, you know, just take it one day at a time.
You laugh when you say Hutch, and I think everybody laughs when I say, because now that we've seen him and he's back, he's healthy, that he healed up from the broken leg, because that was a big concern for Lions fans in the offseason. But, I mean, you see what he's like in practice now, ready to go 100%, knowing he would have made a big difference for the team last year in the playoffs and he wasn't available to him along with several other guys. But what do you see from this guy?
You know, in the NFL – you have, we like to joke, but in NFL you have like man boys, like man amongst boys. And, you know, every team has one. He's that one. He's that one on our team. Like, he's just different. Obviously, if you look at him, he's a specimen. But just the technicality he plays with and the hand movement, the explosiveness, he has the strength to beat you. He has the finesse. I don't want to say he perfected the DN position, but like, if you go and create a DN, you probably want him to be like Hutch, you know, Hutch, like a Nick Bosa type of guy. So he's like that.
DJ Reed, one of one. DJ Reed with us here on 97.1, a ticket from the Lions secondary. Have you had much of a time to look at what Terrion Arnold is bringing to the table? Because last year, a bunch of penalties early. They calmed down in the second half of the season. He played more reps in man coverage than any other corner. Well, what do you see with this young kid opposite of you?
TA's ready. He's ready. You know, I didn't know him last year, but, you know, when he came into camp, he was ready. You know, he wasn't turning down anything. He was winning all of his one-on-ones. And then it transitioned to team periods. The confidence he's playing with, you know, the smack talking. You know, he's ready to prove, you know, himself right and everybody wrong. And he's made that very clear, you know, on social media and in person. But, you know, he's out looking to prove, you know, that he's one of the ones. And I definitely see it. And we just have to let it transition into the regular season.
Does he ever stop talking?
T.A. is a one-on-one guy, man. I never met anybody like T.A. That's he's authentically himself, and I love that. Just this morning, he just brought up some random facts to me, and I'm like, bro, it's 8 in the morning. Like, I'm like, bro, he brought up 3 different subjects to me. I'm like, bro, it's 8 in the morning, bro. Can we just eat? Can we eat breakfast and just chill, bro?
What do you got? What do you say?
Oh, man. I don't even know if I can't say it on the radio.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't say it on the radio.
Understood. Certainly not with your daughter in your hand. You look at what this team is and what they want to be, and you know, you came from a team. You talk about iron sharpening iron. You got to go up against practice last year against Aaron Rodgers quite a bit. You've got Jared Goff here. Mm. Talk about this offense, man, and what this offense does. Amon Ross St. Brown, Jamison Williams. These are the guys you're going against every day in practice.
Yeah, man. I would just say the offense is definitely special. First, it starts with Goff. You know, he's just a pro's pro. And then the old linemen, they're great. You look at Sewell, he's, you know, one of one. Then the tight ends. Tight ends are great players. The running back duos, best duo in the league. Knuckles and Sonic. Then you got, you know, arguably, which I think is the best receiver duo as well, in J-Mo and Saint. J-Mo, you got to respect his speed or he's going to run by you. And Saint, he could do everything. And he's just a tough cover. And Goff is going to get him the ball. And he's going to catch the ball whether he's double-teamed or not. So it's a problem. Our offense is a problem for other teams.
Well, we appreciate your time. People can't see it, but your daughter's adorable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I told you she's going to go to town.
She
I like what you're drawing.
I think it's spaghetti.
That's beautiful. Yeah, what did you draw? What is that? What? Owl. What is it?
An owl.
An owl? An owl. Okay, interesting.
Let's show the feed here to the cameras. This is an owl.
That's an owl.
That's an owl right there.
Owl by KK.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Hey, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Of course.
DJ Reed, welcome to Detroit.
Come on, we're done.
With his adorable daughter. It is Carson Anderson. We're at the Allen Park headquarters of the Detroit Lions. Much more to do. Stick with us here on 97.1 The Ticket.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Yep, from Lions training camp. It's been a fun day, another joint practice day. I would not call today a dominant Lions performance, but I wouldn't call it a bad performance either.
No, if you were, you know, to say did they win or not, they won. Did they win by, you know, was it a laugher like yesterday? No.
No.
But they still were able to do what they wanted to do for the most part. Yep. It was impressive.
Meanwhile, DJ Reed's a cool guy.
Yes, he is, with an adorable daughter.
Yes. And I do want to say, when he was walking over across the practice field, Gator said, you can choose to believe this or not, but that is adorable. And he pointed to him walking, holding her hand as they walked across
the
practice
field. She's got the little Lions cheerleading outfit. There's Dad, the player. It was adorable.
It really was.
And you choose not to believe it.
I don't, but.
that I was sincere.
That you were sincere.
I was completely sincere.
Yes. So, anyway, another good day of practice. The news of the day out of the Lions is that Sam Laporta's down for a couple of days, it sounds like. Doesn't sound like a serious injury, but he probably wasn't going to play Saturday anyway. The two teams will not have a joint practice tomorrow, but they'll be at Ford Field on Saturday night. Doesn't sound like it's too particularly serious. And we mentioned the other news being how the Lions practiced today, which is, again, it wasn't as dominant, but it was a good day of practice. And you can see, man, that offense is talented. And the defense really made Miami's job difficult. Now, I didn't see Waddle in the two-minute drill, and Tyreek Hill didn't play. So.
No, I think I did see Waddle on a play or two, but, okay. Yeah. Look, at least for Miami's sake, they can pack up and get the hell out of here. At least go across town anyway before they play the game. But they can say they put a couple of highlights out there.
Yeah.
There's some things that they can be happy about. But I don't care about Miami. I care about the Lions. And, you know, I'll just kind of reiterate what I said with Will when Birchie was here. Jared Goff is looking – I mean, he's not flawless, but – my God, he looks great. Incredibly accurate, poised, totally knows what he's doing, and he's hitting all the guys in stride, and it's not just finding Amon-Ra, though he seems to find Amon-Ra more than not, and why wouldn't you when he's going to catch everything thrown to him? But this is it's huge, you know, because it'll help calm down the anxiety about the interior of that offensive line if things run smoothly with him. If he's able to go his progressions real quickly and find the right guy to give it the ball to. It's what he's done in practice. It's been very impressive and got to do it against somebody else today instead of the own defense, which, again, goes back to how good is the Lions defense? If the Lions defense was giving the Lions fits offensively,
yeah,
look what they did to Miami in 2 days.
Yeah. They definitely gave him fits. The big football news locally that's not going on here is the – reports that the NCAA has given Michigan their findings on the from the Committee of Infractions, which will include what they are saying would be the punishments for those involved. Gator, I talked about this, and I've talked to people about it a long time. The people that I have talked to, when this story first broke, they would say to me, oh, there's more. There's more that's being looked at, and they were right. And as stuff started to come out publicly, at one point, somebody said, that's kind of it. There's as far as everything that we've looked at and there's validity to, that's kind of it. And it turned out that was kind of it. Now, there's a lot of rumors about other things that people have tweeted and put out there on social media. And the good news is, well, the bad news is, and this is where I've always said this about NCAA football coaches, and I don't think Harbaugh was very good at this. In fact, I think he was actually pretty bad at it. One of the things you're trying to do as a coach, other than win, is keep the NCAA from coming in to investigate your program. And
you wouldn't think that would need to be a point of emphasis, and yet
Yes, and I felt like Jim Harbaugh, from the moment he got to Michigan, was kind of challenging the NCAA on a lot of fronts. And but they've come in, they've done an investigation. The results will come out tomorrow. Whatever the results are, we'll see if Michigan decides to appeal whatever punishment is handed their way, or they just accept the punishment and try and move on from it. But the program got the fine-tooth comb treatment from the NCAA, so we'll see what comes out of it. I've heard there's rumors out there. There's some people that are relatively dialed in that don't believe it's going to be postseason bans or vacated wins. But you know what is weird in this day and age of college athletics? And people scoff at this, but if they get a massive fine, fines equal players. Athletic departments are trying to figure out, even Michigan, how they're going to pay players. And depending on the severity of a fine, if there is a fine, that can be a setback. There might be recruiting restrictions as well. And everybody thinks these athletic departments print money. They have massive budgets. And now, on top of that, they've had to add more budgets for players. So those things carry more weight. But we'll see what it is tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, look, the only thing about this, for if you're a Michigan fan, is at least it'll be behind you. We'll see what the results are. But hopefully it'll be the beginning of them moving on.
Yeah, curious to see what shakes out of this, if it means more punishment for Sharon Moore or not, and are they going to, you know, have him sit out a couple more games? Don't know. Obviously, the Oklahoma game is it comes up quickly. Does it affect that at all? Will any of this affect that? You talk about the money aspect. I wouldn't be as concerned about the money. I appreciate the point you're making there, but in the end, I mean, if Michigan has to pass a hat around, for lack of a better term, they've got big-time donors that would be more than willing to do that, and that's what these old collectives are for. But moving forward, we don't even know what the rules really are with NIL and all that stuff. So, I mean, at this point, I don't look at money as being that big of a deal.
Well, and yeah, it depends on the severity of the fine. 248-539-9797, if indeed there is a fine. But that is expected to be released at some point tomorrow. I believe Michigan is being made aware of stuff today. Our guy Dan Wetzel has been all over this case, so we might want to get him on here in the next 24 hours. Tomorrow we're going to be at the Dream Cruise, by the way, which is kind of an annual thing that we have done. We've usually been there on a Saturday, but we're going to be there on a Friday. It is actually one of my favorite shows to do because I stand next to a man who identifies cars and knows a lot about him. It is an underrated part of my guy Scott Anderson. You know a lot about the cars.
Well, I don't know if I know a lot. I know a lot more than you do.
Without question.
But I don't know if I know a lot in the grand scheme of things.
By a factor of about 100.
But I would say that I have really come to appreciate the Dream Cruise a lot over the last 15, 20 years. And, you know, I would think that this is not a show that you enjoy because this is like Distracted Gator on steroids.
Yeah, but you're distracted with good. The reason we're there is part
on a Saturday show. I think it's fine. On a Friday show, I don't know if it's going to be the same.
Well,
feel, but we'll see how that works.
When you are a version of you I don't like, I'll be sure to let you know. I'll maybe tap you on the shoulder or give you a sign. Maybe I'll tap my own head
or reel it in. You know, stop. Eyes over here. Whatever it is. Yeah.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. You know what we have coming up? Another edition of Are You Going to Eat That?
Oh.
Yep. Stay tuned for that. We'll talk to the linebacker coach, Sean Dion Hamilton, next hour. You hear what he told us earlier. That is in the 1 o'clock hour here on Carson Anderson from Allen Park in the Meyer Performance Center, home of the Detroit Lions, here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, home ownership is closer than you think. With a mortgage loan from the University of Michigan Credit Union, imagine stepping into your dream home with no application fee. And right now, get $750 off your closing costs when you finance with UMCU. They offer competitive rates and flexible terms to fit your life. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for pre-approval or ready to build or refinance, UMCU is here to help. Visit umcu.org to get started. Insured by NCUA. NMLS number 712343. UMCU is an equal housing opportunity lender. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We got open lines here, 248-539-9797. We got another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up shortly. Gator asked a question about something in the NFL. You said, is it ever going to end? And my guess is no.
You don't think it's ever going
to
end?
Is the Taylor Swift NFL stuff ever going to end? Scott? I think it's drawing in a new audience. I think the NFL is going to milk the Taylor Swift story. I think she will continue to get attention. Cutaway queen during Chiefs games. She gets a ton of FaceTime, doesn't she? And I think it's going to continue.
Yeah, she went on the Kelce Brothers podcast yesterday.
And oh,
I
did
guess
she?
There was a record number of downloads. It broke the internet, so to speak. And since then, the number of people that have watched that segment, it has quadrupled, I think. It's close to 10 million people have watched it now.
So what's interesting about it is when we've talked about her presence at NFL games and her dating what's-his-face, it feels as though people in their household, if they have a non-football fan but a Taylor Swift fan, they like it because it draws in their that person. And I'm tempted to say daughters, but I'm not gonna go that far. But you get the point. They start watching football because of Taylor Swift, which is a good thing. For those who hate it and cannot stand it, I'm gonna say, get used to it and do your best to just ignore it. I've gotten really good at using my mental off switch.
Yeah.
And just saying, I'm not going to pay any attention.
It's easy to ignore. I mean, I understand people get frustrated by it, but it's easy to ignore. You know, I don't have to watch the Chiefs. Yeah. If you see a story come online about it, you don't have to click on the story or whatever, but it was interesting. And I found myself, I didn't watch it. I didn't download it and watch it myself, but I did see a clip that somebody had posted about, you know, what the heck she was talking about, where she exposed herself a little bit, Doug, her emotionally, that where she finally got her music back, which is a kind of a big story in music, right? Because she had lost the rights to her music to this dude, and she finally was able to get it back, and it was emotional for her the moment that she discovered that she was able to wrest that away from the evildoers, and now she controls the entire library of her music, which is great for her. I mean, if you're an artist, you certainly don't want that in somebody else's hands. I mean, it's something you created. But to bring that up on a football podcast, I mean, maybe it's not a football podcast. It's the Kelce Brothers, right? So they've become celebrities in their own right, in large part because of her. And didn't Travis say the other day that that part kind of got away from him? He was trying to be too much of an entertainer last year. That whole Hollywood and glitz stuff kind of got to him a little bit, which I'm sure Chiefs fans are thrilled to hear that.
I would tell you, the fan base, and I have no sympathy. I don't feel bad for them in the slightest, but that would piss me off if I were a Chiefs fan.
Yeah. And may have been the most obvious thing ever. Oh, no kidding. Really? You were distracted by trying to have too much fun?
Yeah. All right, Gator and Kang, it's time for another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? All right, boys, got new menu items, things that might appeal to you, might not. We'll start with Papa John's, according to Food and Beverage. They have a new garlic 5 cheese crust pizza. Starts with a signature fresh, never frozen original crust made with 6 ingredients. Then the crust is topped with garlic butter and 5 cheeses, including Parmesan, Romano, Asiago, Fontina, and Provolone. It gives it a smoky flavor and a crisp texture to the crust. You can really taste the savory garlic Parmesan and the sweet pizza sauces. The Papa John's new 5 cheese crust pizza. Gator, are you going to eat that?
I'm not the biggest fan of Papa John's. So, in fact, I can't remember the last time I ordered a Papa John's. So I'm going to say no. The idea of a 5 cheese crust pizza with garlic is absolutely appealing to me.
Yeah.
Although it seems like a little overkill on the having 5 different kinds of cheese on there, but I mean, I'm intrigued by it, but then it gets wiped out by the whole Papa John's thing. I'm just not a big Papa John's guy.
Kang, you?
Yeah, I'm gonna eat it. I think you're missing the point, Gator. Would you just try this? I know you're not a, you don't eat. You can't remember the last time you had Papa John's, right? But if Papa John's came in right now and had this, you know, five-layer whatever garlic
yes,
crust.
Yes, yeah, without right? question, right? Yeah. If there was a Papa John's pizza in front of me, would I try this? Of course I would. But the I'm trying to put myself into, hey, it's pizza night. Where am I going to get pizza from? Am I going to get from Papa John's because they've got this five-cheese garlic crust pizza? Probably not.
I wonder if execution is a big thing on this. I'd try it. I'm not sure they can pull it off because a lot of places try the crazy crust thing, but I feel like it always underwhelms usually.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm out. There's basically two kinds of pizza I'll get, and Papa John's isn't one of them. So I don't see myself getting this anytime in the near future. M&M's has come out with a new flavor. Cookie and cream M&M's. The new cookie and cream M&M's feature white and dark chocolate centers that resemble the rich, chocolatey, and creamy flavors of cookies and cream. According to an Instagram user, they said that they thought it was more of a chocolatey, fudgy thing than cookies and cream. Another Instagram user said they taste like the end of the ice cream cones with chocolate in them. The cookies and cream M&M's, Scott Anderson, are you going to eat that?
Hell yeah, I am. I love cookies and cream. When they first came up with that ice cream flavor, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. I loved it. And so you can do anything with cookies and cream, I'm going to be on board with it.
All right. Kang?
I feel like you can almost do anything with M&M's and I'm on board with it. So yeah, I'm in on this. Cookies and cream. I feel like, yeah, they have to put durian M&M's for me not to want them. If you don't know what durian is, look it up.
Yeah. So
pungent.
Yeah, I found myself disappointed in cookies and cream. Maybe I am just me. But cookies and cream, I got all excited about the first time I saw it, but it didn't do it for me. KFC is bringing back the potato wedges, and they're making a nationwide comeback. On the outside, tender. On the outside, they're crispy. On the inside, they're tender. It's the ultimate side dish for those who want a little bit more oomph for the classic French fry. KFC discontinued the potato wedges in 2010. They're only here for a limited time while supplies last. The KFC potato wedge. Gator, are you going to eat that?
Of course I am. That's a grave mistake made by KFC back in the day. You should never have gone away from this. This is delicious. The potato wedge is incredibly underrated. I'm a big, big, big fan. A lot of surface area there for my mustard or my ketchup or my blend or ranch or whatever you want to do to dip your fry in. I'm all about it.
So that's a yes. Kang, you?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of potato wedges, but the execution is key here again. Like, it's got to be, it can't be over-fried, so it's like the whole wedge is hard or dry, you know? And it can't be undercooked, because then it just kind of, like a weird mashed potato thing filling inside of this thing. So, but cooked, if it's done right, it's fantastic.
I'm a KFC fan. I like the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I am in on the potato wedges. All right, next up. Whoa. From Little Debbie's.
Shocker.
Little Debbie's.
That's news.
Well, you can't be surprised that I like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I thought you liked KGC.
I can be.
Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
Well, right. Yeah, that's true. Little Debbie's has come out with a fall gingerbread cookie, soft and spiced cookies topped with a generous dusting of sugar sprinkles for a sweet crunch. The Little Debbie's fall gingerbread cookie. Gator, you're going to eat that.
Doug. Are you stupid or are you dumb? Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to try this. I mean, you had me at Little Debbie, right? I mean, just say Debbie, and the first thing that comes to mind is Little Debbie, right? Of course I want this. Delicious.
Can you?
Some people like Lil Wayne. My boy Gator likes Little Debbie. That's his Lil, all right? So he ain't going to turn down Little Debbie, and neither am I.
I think gingerbread is such a underrated flavor. I absolutely love gingerbread.
Oh my.
I'm in on these for sure. Gator, there's a new trend.
Unbelievable.
I know, right? A new trend with something in fountain drinks that you can get called heavy soda. Now, fountain drinks work by mixing carbonated water with the flavored syrups to give you your fizzy fountain drink. Well, out on social media, people are posting that some gas stations are tweaking the mix to lean heavily into the syrup, dispensing more intensely flavored, stronger versions of Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, and others. It's heavy soda with a heavy syrup to water ratio. Scott the Gator Anderson, would you want the heavy soda?
My head is telling me absolutely not. I mean, that's one of the problems I have with some of the soda pops out there is that they do taste too syrupy. I've always thought that about Pepsi when it comes to comparison between Pepsi and Coke. But Diet Pepsi is great, whereas I don't love Diet Coke. But the fountain mix it's so important that you get it right, because when they get it right, it's amazing. Comerica Park has a great fountain mix. I don't know what this – I'm curious about it. They say, oh, it intensifies the flavor. I'd be curious to try, like, the Mountain Dew, heavy Mountain Dew.
Okay.
But when it comes to a cola, I don't want it heavier. I want the mix perfect.
Can you?
Yeah, I agree. Too much syrup and pop, it ruins the whole thing. I would try it because I'm a fan of pop. But yeah, Gator's right. If the ratio is off, like there's too much syrup. I agree with you, your analysis on Pepsi, by the way. It's too syrupy for me. If this is too syrupy, I'll be a one and done. But I'd try it.
Okay.
And somebody on Twitch hit the nail on the head, or I can't read what it is, what the name is. But McDonald's has a great mix.
Oh, we all
McDonald's,
know.
I mean, they can't work a McFlurry machine to save their lives. But they know what they're doing when it comes to their soda pop products.
It wouldn't surprise you. I have no interest in the heavy soda, but who would have thought I would have? Ah, there you go. That's another addition of Are You Going
to
Eat That?
Well, you got to have something to wash down the potato wedges and the gingerbread cookies.
Yeah, it won't be heavy soda. I don't mind a
heavy milk,
a Diet Pepsi. If they offer milk, you know me. Which I haven't been able to get a milk on a plane in a long time. I'm very disappointed that our major airline carriers.
Doug, would you drink hard milk?
What would be hard milk?
Sour milk? Eggnog?
Well, everything's hard now, right? Hard ice.
So,
tea,
yeah,
hard lemonade.
I can't see that. Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't.
Did you just say everything's hard?
That's
you
right.
You did say that.
Oh, okay.
You're at practice, aren't you?
I do have some bad news. I think Gatorade is starting to phase out the Cucumber Lime Zero.
No way. Don't tell me that's true.
I really do. I found it at a Citgo just south of Kalispell, Montana. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. And I haven't seen one in stores since. Hmm. I think it's another product that Doug loves that's going to disappear. Damn it. All right, coming up, we'll talk a little Tigers next hour, some more Lions. It's Carson Anderson from out here at the Allen Park headquarters of the Lions here on 97.1 The Ticket.